Dan Materials. Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon. And I'm looking forward to know about your product named as MI Vault. So is there anyone who can give me some product information in detail?
You would need to email them, I think. I don't think there's anyone available at the moment.
It would be better if I would talk on phone.
There's no one logged in to the phone system at the moment with but what is it that you require?
Let's
I've
see.
no one in
Yes, let me introduce myself. This is Girish. I'm calling from BIS Market Research, headquartered in USA. So we are doing a research study on fluids and lubricants for electric vehicles. So I went to the internet. I found out that MI Materials is also one of the prominent company in this market, manufacturing fluids and lubricants for electric vehicles through their product like MI Vault. Is it right?
Okay, so you basically you're looking at doing a survey on my vault, not it's not technical inquiry.
Yes, you can say like that also.
Well, I'll try and put you through to someone. Just one moment. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hello. I'm audible to you?
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes.
May I know who is this again?
Yes. One of your colleagues has transferred this call to you. This is Girish. I'm calling from BIS Market Research. We basically do syndicate reports and a business intelligence firm. So
Right.
I'm working on a project named as fluids and lubricants for electric vehicles. So I went through the internet. I found out that MI Materials is one of the prominent company in this market. So may I get some insights about your product named as MI Vault and
Like
about the
what kind
market?
of information you're looking at?
About the product,
What
your
kind of
product also?
information?
Yes,
Sorry?
about your product also, and about fluids and lubricants which are used in electric vehicles. Anything, like say, if I
Like
ask you,
you have
yes.
any, like in terms of your report, you would have some specific areas that you would like cover, right? So would you have any specific questions that you're looking at?
Yes, like what are the key challenges in this market right now as you as the industrialist you are facing right now and
Oh,
like that.
so yeah, okay. So, yeah, like firstly, so our if you look at our website, MyVault fluids are basically synthetic ester fluids, which are used primarily for battery thermal management. So this is based on immersion cooling technology. And battery. So when we started this, we were focused on battery cooling, where the cells are directly immersed in the fluid. The battery cells are directly immersed in the fluid, and it helps cool down the cells in that way. And also recently, over the last year or so, we have been working on powertrain components as well. So where the fluids are used for cooling e-motors, power electronics, which are components of the drive train or the
Yes.
powertrain in an EV. So in terms of, so you're looking at challenges specifically for like electric vehicles in general, or looking at
No.
challenges of about the immersion cooling or fluids, adoption of
Yes. Yes, adoption rate. Also, you can compare like how my product types like grease, thermal fluids, dry system fluids, brake fluids like this. So if you can compare these fluids used in electric cars, you can.
So we don't like in our portfolio right now, we are mostly into battery and drive fluids, but like not basically as so these are used mostly for thermal management rather than lubrication.
Right.
So our
Yes.
fluids generally have an inherent lubricity, which helps them to perform that function as well. But in general, these are not used as lubricants. So you won't use it because they're like cheaper, like maybe greasing, which are used. So this is not a grease. This is a fluid or a dielectric. So more importantly, this is dielectric fluid, which does conduct electricity. Okay. So the main challenge, so in terms of, for example, if you're looking at fluids for dielectric fluids for battery immersion cooling, so I would say the main areas where these have been adopted are into power sport applications till now. So this could be like hypercars or sports like two-wheelers. The super bikes, hypercars, then motor. So even for marine applications, so speedboat applications, these are prominently used where high sea rates are necessary. So but the power density requirements are very high. The next stage of this, so what companies are looking at, for example, the big EVs, they're looking at their platforms where it could be launched into commercial cars as well. Now the challenge being, so you might be aware that normally thermal management in electric vehicles or batteries or powertrains, these are where
Yes,
basically air cooled. Right, these
Yes,
are
I know.
basically air cooled. So from air, so the first vehicles which were launched probably back in 2010, 2011, these are all electric vehicle batteries, like the air cooled batteries, like Nissan Leaf. This was one of the first car launch and was electric, like air cooled battery. But then you need to improve the performance. Performance can be in terms of the energy density of the batteries. You can, so if you want to run it for longer durations, so the life longevity of the batteries becomes critical. You want to have more performance, the charging rates. So charging rates is one of the, like, generally in EVs, high charging rates are very critical. So to address these challenges, the next generation of cooling technology came up, which was the cold plate-based systems, so water cycle-based cold plate cooling. But these also, like, as we progress further and as EVs become more sophisticated and more performance-driven,
Yes,
even cold plate
absolutely.
systems nowadays are not able to achieve the thermal management. So, like in a battery, let's say, the most important part is the temperature at which you run the battery. So if you can run it cooler, not only cooler, so it should not be very cold as well. So batteries normally are best, like, you know, batteries normally perform best when it is in a temperature range of around 25 to 30 or let's say 35 degrees. So you have to keep the batteries in this temperature range to get a higher performance out of these batteries, the longevity of the battery. So everything is related to temperature in a battery. So for dielectric fluids, it is so now even with cold plate systems as your battery voltages. So you might be aware of a trend in motors that, or even
electric motors,
you're going up from like 50 volts to 100 volts, 500 volts, like 400 volts nowadays. The high powered ones are 400 volts, but the like more advanced companies who are focused on high performance, they're looking at 800 volts. It can, and it's expected to go up to 1100 volts in the next 2 years.
Yes.
So, as you increase this voltage and current rating, thermal management becomes more of a challenge. Therefore, these companies now are thinking that cold plate system not as like efficient as it used to be a couple of years back, and new thermal management technologies are coming up, especially for like lithium-ion batteries. So immersion cooling plays a role, but like in terms of adoption rate, challenge is probably cold plate systems have been there for a number of years, so it's well established. The technology is well established. Been used in like a lot of different components, like our electronics, even for like electronic components. So immersion cooling is relatively a much newer technology. So probably it's around like 5 to 8 years old. For EVs, it might be even newer. So the first companies started working probably like was from 2017, 2018. So it's a relatively new technology. So integrating it into the system and long-term performance. So you know that you might be knowing that like what is that called? Automotive companies, the lead time of development is very long. So they would like prototypes, and they would develop a beta level car, then they would run with a few hundred models for a couple of years, and then it takes like 7-8 years to ultimately launch. From like development start to product launch, it takes a very long time. So there are some fast moving sectors as well. For example, in the marine segment, these are like smaller batteries adoption. So from our understanding, we feel that the smaller battery, for example, in marine, you can use a battery in a ship, or you can use a battery in a speedboat or a jet ski. So jet skis and speedboats or electric wheelers like scooters, motorcycles, which the battery kilowatt hour rating is lower. Probably and more like simpler battery systems. So these would be used for like adopted faster as compared to a like commercial EV, which would have a much bigger battery and like which needs to be launched at scale. Like would have several hundred thousands of EVs. So the challenges, I think, it's mainly. So it has now been proven that immersion cooling is definitely much. So we have, if you look at our website or like search some articles on net, you find that we are involved in, we have completed some of the projects as well where we have compared cold plates and immersion cooling. So immersion cooling now as a technology, not only for us, like in general, we believe the people now accept the advantages and they know that it's a much more efficient system thermally and also in terms of cost, weight, performance. So it is just probably a matter of time, normal development time, which it would take to like launch and get gain scale. Another thing I think is like a lot of, you would notice a lot of startup companies coming up these days, so they're looking at new technologies, very innovative. But then you have to scale these up, right? So you might launch your product quickly. So we, so like, for example, with, if you look at Faraday Future, Faraday Future is a Californian-based startup company. I think they were established in 2016, and they have a production-ready vehicle, FS91, which is using our fluid, one of our fluids, my old fluids.
Okay.
So. Mm-hmm. So they have a production-ready vehicle, but then it's like we are expecting probably next year or whatever their timeline is, or maybe end of this year, they said that they might launch like 100 vehicles this year, probably. Mm-hmm. And these, so slowly it would adopt, and then maybe even for bigger, so when the commercial EVs get launched, and then it would probably move into bigger, even larger batteries in trucks. Mm-hmm. Or these are like some of the challenges. I would say it's a new technology basically, so adoption will take time.
If I ask you the estimate or approximate volume percentage of these dielectric coolants using latest electric vehicles, how much it is from your analysis?
Small, I think. So dielectric coolants, I don't take cold plate systems. So like water light is not a dielectric. So if you look at only at like dielectric oils, I would say it's negligible. I don't know. Maybe in between, it's very difficult to say. Like most of the projects that I'm aware of are in their proof of concept stages. Some of these have been launched as prototypes, testing. So volume wise, it's very difficult to establish a number. Like, not only I'm not talking about our company, it's overall in the industry.
Okay. What is the
Have you spoken to some other companies? Have you got some idea on this, on the volumes?
Not yet, but I'm getting some volume range about like 400 ml in an electric car, single electric car. That's the range which I have got.
So volume per vehicle. So you should, like in my understanding, if you're looking at dielectrics, so water glycol systems are not dielectric. So 400 ml can be in a battery system which uses cold plate cooling. Okay. Water glycol which flow into the cold plates and the channels, and it's like it could be like 400 ml still sounds a bit on the lower side, but like for example, immersion cooled battery pack, if you say it's of let's say 60 kilowatt hour, so 60 kilowatt hour probably it could be somewhere in the range of 30 liters to or maybe 25 liters to 40 liters, 50 liters in this range. So it's much higher as compared to, again, like 450 ml, like what is the size of the battery, so is also important. So
you can't, it depends on the battery.
Yeah.
If I say a model, so if you're Tesla Model Y, so
Tesla Model Y is, what is the kilowatt? I can't remember from now. But you should consider that point as well, that it depends on volume of fluid, normally depends on the battery size, the battery pack, like kilowatt hour, if you have more batteries than your volume. So you would have much less volume in a two-wheeler motorcycle or scooter pack than in a electric boat. And electric boats have smaller volume than a high performance, like a supercar, where the battery size will be bigger. It will be smaller than in a bus. So as you increase the battery, the volume of the fluid also increases. So
as per your analysis, what are the key competitors for your market, especially for dielectric coolants?
Dielectric coolants, I would say 3M is one of the main competitors. So 3M has some fluids which are there. Apart from that, I think Solvay also has I would say, so like I'm not sure whether their products are used anywhere, because like some of the hydrocarbon fluids can be used in this segment, right? So I'm not sure whether their products are currently like used anywhere. So means you can like check online and see probably if they've launched it somewhere, then you will definitely get some articles. So I think like the most prominent ones would be 3M, Solvay.
What is the replacement rate of these fluids and lubricants used in electric vehicles? Is that replacement rate varies according to each fluid types, prototypes, like as I mentioned earlier?
I think like for lubricants, so as I mentioned, we don't manufacture like lubricants in general. So, but I understand, lubricants normally you would have to replace, because the fluids, like the hydrocarbons, so those are hydrocarbon fluids normally used in lubricants, so you have a shelf life. And not like in engines also, you find some lubricants, or gearboxes, you will have lubricants which normally needs maintenance and servicing, right? So you would have some shelf life. For our fluids in battery cooling, so it's normally expected to last for the lifetime of the battery. But again, it depends on what kind of operating conditions you have. What is the system design of the batteries? But like more or less, based on experience of high electric, we expect it to last for the lifetime of the battery system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you, like, according to my research, the estimated size for this global market is around 6 billion, which will reach by 2031. What is your assessment on this?
6 billion for, you're looking at including including cold plate, or it's just about
all of that
size,
thermal fluids?
I understand it's difficult to give a 6 billion, like how have you calculated this 6 billion?
Yes, it's basically
like
based
it must be based on number
yes,
of, so
okay.
Like what is your estimate on number of EVs by 2030?
The number of EVs by you are talking.
What would be the number of EVs? So you've come up to 6 billion, right? So number of, so you have to have some like calculation mechanism by which you arrive at this number. So like the way I would do it, probably I would first see, I don't have a calculation at this time. So what I would do if I were you is I would check by 2030 what is the number of total number of EVs, and then probably. Probably the top 10-20% would be the performance vehicles or the premium segment, and then the middle probably 20-30 or 40% would be the like normal range, and then the balance 20-30% would be the low end. So consumption in the premium range might be higher, because there will be more adoption of dielectric requirement, because as you want to achieve higher performance, you would need more fluids, right? So you might need might need a few liters in your like gearbox cooling or in your powertrain. I would take like probably maybe around 100 liters in gearbox, powertrain, and then for battery you might have another like 40-50 liters. But for if you look at the lower end range, it might be so batteries may not convert to immersion cooled. It might still be air cooled or cold plate systems, which would be like which would be okay because these are not high powered systems, right?
Okay.
Or they don't need the batteries to last for a very long time. So the cheaper cars, they won't give you a like warranty of 10 years, and probably it would last for 5 years or 8 years. So it depends on, so you can like break it down, and then fluid costs again you can like roughly check online and then see how much it is coming. So yeah, I would break it down like this. Like, is it difficult to say what in like monetary terms what is the number exactly?
Yes, there are like
it's very difficult, but whoever gives you a number, try to understand his logic, like why it's 6 billion. Because I see a lot of reports, I don't think like there's any calculation basis. I've asked people as well, like what is your calculation basis for arriving at this number? So I don't think it's very logical they just write some number what people say.
No,
you should do your like calculation and understand why this number. I can tell you like I can give you a number that's $10 billion by 2032, but justify why it's 10 billion.
Yes, absolutely. Right now, like what are my approaches? Like there are different approaches I do follow, like top down, bottom up approaches. And right now, you can see there are 16 million electric vehicles on the road running by, if you say, about 2021. So if you forecast this number up to the 2031 by some see growth rate and with the replacement rate of fluids and lubricants, we can get the number for 2031 easily. Yes.
And how much like fuels and lubricants? Fuels won't be required, right? It's only lubricants. So, like for changing to EVs, you want fluids. Oh, okay, fluids. So fluids. So how much fluid have you taken for one car?
For a fluid, for passenger vehicle, I have taken like 2 liter greases. Then thermal fluid is around more in the range, 23 liter. For batteries, for transmission fluid, I have taken 4 liter, like that. And at last, brake fluids will be around 1.5 or 2 liters.
Brake fluid 1.5 liters, transmission is around 4 liters, and battery you have taken around 10 liters. And what was the first one?
Like grease, 2 liters.
Grease, 2 liters. Yeah, so I said, it's like more or less close to what I said, right? So I mentioned that around 5 liters for maybe the drive, and including greases, and then battery I gave you a bit higher, I said 30 liters. So if it is a 60 kilowatt hour battery, maybe it would need. So yeah, I think more or less it's the same. So yeah, but you should do it like segment wise as well. So grease, I think 2 liters of grease is a big volume. So I would say probably like less than 1 liter of grease, because 2 greases are very thick, right? So I don't know whether 2 liters, 2 liters is required. So, I think I read somewhere that normally for drive, so like lubricant, so for the drive line, the grease and Draftline, lubricant, the grease, and the I think the last one was what? Sorry,
brake fluids.
Brake fluid, yeah. So yeah, mm-hmm. these was around like less than 10 liters in a car. And then
okay.
like 5 to 10 liters, you would say, and then battery fluid you can take like for a 60 kilowatt hour battery, you would need around let's say 30 liters of fluid. So,
okay,
yeah.
We can say for a normal passenger electric car, we have around 40
but
liters
you can't
of
take it for whole. Yeah, but you can't take it for all the cars, right? You could take it like...
Yes,
no.
It will vary according to...
Top.
Yes, it will vary according to hybrid, battery...
Yeah, yes.
According to commercial
oh.
electric vehicles like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, if I ask you, so what are the
mm-hmm.
adoption rate of these fluids and lubricants in hybrid electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles and battery electric
mm-hmm.
vehicles? What are your inputs on that?
Adoption rate in the sense?
Means what is
like
the percentage rate?
I think like if you have, I think it would follow a similar trend of electrification. Because if you
okay.
need, if you are developing an electric car and you need also fluids and lubricants which are suitable for electric cars, right? So
mm-hmm.
it would be like similar, I think. So as you electrify more, your volumes will go up. So I would say
okay.
the adoption rate may be similar.
Any, what are the market scenario right now? Can we say that the top five companies are having market share more than 70 or 80%?
Yeah, I think like all the big players, for example, Stellantis Group, GM, Toyota. Toyota is a bit further. Probably the big ones like Volkswagen, BMW, Renault, Nissan. So all of them have. So these are the major players, right? Ford.
I am asking you for this fluids and lubricants manufacturers for electric vehicles, like Shell,
mm-hmm.
Your company as well, and also 3M like that. Exxon Mobil.
So if you,
like,
I think if you take, like if you include lubricants, so I think
mm-hmm.
lubricants for batteries, I think we are the number one supplier right now.
Okay.
For
mm-hmm.
battery cooling fluids. But for lubricants,
mm-hmm.
I think you would have, so like for batteries, probably 3M and our company. Like
mm-hmm.
dielectric specifically, but lubricants may not need to be dielectric, right? Lubricants can
yes,
be non-dielectric
right.
as well. So,
mm-hmm.
so lubricants, I would say, I think the big ones are Chevron,
mm-hmm.
Chevron, Exxon. Shell, I think would be, yeah, Shell should come there as well. So Chevron, Exxon, Shell, then...
Mm-hmm.
You might
Castrol.
Petronas is there. Castrol
okay.
is big for like normal lubricants, but I don't think Castrol manufactures by themselves. They normally buy from others.
Mm-hmm.
So, like if you're looking at a normal car, like ICE car. So Castrol
mm-hmm.
is like very big, but I'm not very
mm-hmm.
sure whether those same lubricants or same oils can be used in electric vehicles as well. So
okay.
it might be, and I don't think they have any synthetic lubricant manufacturing. Normally they buy from the likes of Exxon. You have to check this. Sorry, like it's based on my understanding, so
mm-hmm.
you can always check. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I think these are the probably three, four good players for
mm-hmm.
on the lubricant side.
we can say
spectrum is really big. Yes.
Okay. For like I have segmented further for by distribution channel into OEM and
so
aftermarket.
Running out of time, I have a call now. I can just take maybe one or two more questions.
Yes.
To go for a call.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
One last question.
Yes, that's the last question which I have told you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Would you please give us some like pricing estimation by distribution channel? Like, what are the pricing differences for OEM and aftermarket for
again,
this market?
For like different chemistries would be differently priced, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you're looking at
right.
fluorinated fluids, it could be very expensive. It could be like even $100 per liter. If you're
mm-hmm.
looking at like synthetic esters like ourselves, it could be from maybe $15 to $20 per liter. And then, like, if you're looking at, so similarly for the lubricants, also synthetic lubricants, small volumes you would have. So it all depends on the volume, basically. So when you're
okay.
when you're looking at high volume, and then probably all these fluids, except fluorinated, would come down below $10 per liter.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, maybe $8 to $10 per liter in this range.
As per our estimation, like there was like 40 liters of, there is a 40 liters of fuels and lubricants in a single electric car.
Mm.
So can we say for 40 electric car, it will have a cost of around $50 or more than
for
that?
For one electric car, you mean?
Yes, yes, for one electric car, normal.
So one
let's say Tesla Model Y.
So one electric car, let's say at scale, so when you're, let's say we are talking about 2030, okay, or 2031.
Mm-hmm.
So one
mm-hmm.
electric car, if we say that has a total of 40 liters of fluid, like including
mm-hmm.
lubricants and everything, so average lubricants
mm-hmm.
prices are a bit lower. Dielectrics, because it's more difficult to make, you will have higher price for dielectrics,
mm-hmm.
which are not conducting electricity. So average, let's say you have a price of around $5-$6.
Mm-hmm.
Lubricants might be lower, dielectrics will be a bit higher. So average, let's say by 2032 or let's say 2035, you'll have a price of $5 to $6 per liter. So you would
mm-hmm.
have like 40 into 5, so around $200 per electric vehicle.
Yes, right, absolutely. That's a good estimation,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Yes. Will please mention your name so that I will share with you my research executive summary with you to the mail. Please give me your mail ID.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So it's Sayan, S-A-Y-A-N.
Uh-huh.
So Sayan, Sayan and then Sengupta. So you must be knowing Sengupta, right?
Yes.
S-E-N-G-U-P-T-A. So science and Sengupta together. And then
would you please spell it out from starting?
Okay, so it's S-A, it's S-A-Y-A-N.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sengupta, so S-E-N-G-U-P-T-A, Sengupta.
Okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
at the rate mimaterials.com.
Okay.
Let
me repeat it again.
So our company is, yeah, you can repeat, yes.
It's Sayan Sen Gupta, S-A-Y-A-N S-E-N-G-U-P-T-A at the rate mimaterials.com. Yes.
Yes, at the rate mimaterials.com. Yes. MI and then materials, MATERIALS.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for the information. Yes, that was a great session, full session. Yes, I will share with you
no
the executive summary of this report.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
No problem.
Thank
you. Yes. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.